Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Sign Guy with you like normal. Real first, before we jump into things with our guests, some show notes. If you're looking for wrestling today, WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, PPW in Tabor, Alberta, Canada, APW in Daly City, California, PWA in Auburn, Illinois, PWF in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and UCW in Orange, Virginia. Tomorrow night, NWWA in Milwaukee, Oregon for a benefit show. NSW in Fort Payne, Alabama. PPW in Milk River, Alberta. ECCW in Vancouver, BC. PWR in Gridley, California. TWF in Sacramento, California. DCW in Dover, Delaware. CPW in Orlando, Florida. FTPW in Seminole, Florida. FTW in Madison, Wisconsin. ICS in Dunbar, West Virginia. LPWE in Fremont, Ohio. WAW in Manchester, New Hampshire. And DCW happening in Pascagoula, Mississippi tomorrow. Without further ado, I would like to welcome on our guest today, Marcus Waters. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing very well. Since today is your first time with us, we are going to ask you the first-timer's question to start. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Basically, what led to me getting into the business of professional wrestling is growing up, watching it all my life. You know, you build a love for the sport, first of all, and then that's when you get into the whole business and you grow a love for that too.
Getting into professional wrestling, did you have any sort of background that would have prepared you for what professional wrestling is, be it amateur wrestling, be it gymnastics, some sort of drama background, anything like that?
Nah, I didn't. Like, when I came in, I was just a sponge. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't come in, like, I played football or whatever, and a lot of people do that. Played basketball through high school, basketball, football, did some track. But as far as doing drama or anything like that, no, I didn't do any of that.
In professional wrestling, of course, there are many different ways to work within the business. You have the actual in-the-ring wrestling. There's managing, refereeing. There's promoting, timekeeping, all sorts of avenues. Besides the act of in-ring wrestling, what are some of the other jobs that you've held in the business of pro wrestling?
The only other job I ever did would have been like security before it is that you could actually get in the ring.
Now, when you are wrestling and you're just starting out and you're doing a little bit of security as well, was security a way for you to be able to see what went on in the ring between wrestlers and sort of learn without having to physically do the matches yourselves and try to get an idea of what they were doing, why they were doing it when they did, that sort of thing?
When I was doing security, I was actually doing the beginning stages of my training, so I already had a basic, a general idea of what I had to do. But I, at the same time, yeah, I did pick up what other guys were doing.
one of the things that is the goal of a lot of wrestlers at some point in time during the course of their career is promoting. A lot of guys have the idea, whether it be early in their career or partway through it or towards the tail end, that they would like to open up their own promotion and keep going in that direction of the business. Is promoting something that you've ever given a lot of thought of yourself?
Actually, I just this past June 10th was the date, was it? I actually did my very first show. Like, I don't know if you guys know or anything, but I also run a pro wrestling magazine in my area, which is called Delmarva Wrestling Digest. And they also have DelmarvaWrestlingDigest.com. That's where you can go and check out all your pro wrestling needs as far as wrestling in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. But like, to get back to what I was saying as far as the promoting aspect, I just did my very first show June 10th. It was Sunday Night Strikes. It was a benefit show for Team Eastern Junior Gold Bowlers.
Now, promoting can be something that has a lot of headaches involved with it that a lot of people don't fully understand. When you first started promoting the event, did it give you a new appreciation for what full-time wrestling promoters actually have to do in order to get their event up and running?
Yeah, it actually... I learned a lot from this whole ordeal as far as doing it. It's not something that I would want to do month in and month out. Like, I'm actually putting together now, and I'm in the beginning stages of planning my next event. Like, I don't want to be that promoter who's every month doing a show. I only want to do it when it is that people in my area need me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. When you actually were promoting, be it dealing with factors outside of the professional wrestling business, the promotional end of it, getting the venue, or dealing with aspects within the wrestling business, be it the wrestlers, having enough people to set up the ring, that type of thing, what did you find to be the most surprisingly hard thing in being able to put on an event yourself?
The thing that I found out to be the most hardest is when you're dealing in professional wrestling, I'm pretty sure wherever you guys are based out of, like in regards to even with podcasting, you come across people who are in the same field as you, who they don't want to see you do well. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to see you do well because it's like you get a lot of haters in regards to everything that you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And that's the one thing that I had the biggest issue with. Like, you would have people who you would have a venue lined up, and next thing you know, you're getting a phone call, hey, well, you can't do it because of X, Y, and Z. And when it all boils down, it's where another promoter would have called and got your venue shut down, or called and now you can't get guardrails or whatever. So you got to make a bunch more phone calls to try to get things situated for your actual show.
One of the newer aspects of wrestling that promoters are delving into, especially on an independent level, is streaming services. It's one of the ways that promoters are trying to get their product seen by more people. They'll put it up on various streaming sites, Twitch, the Roku, YouTube, what have you. Do you think that, by and large, that live streaming is something that's good for independent professional wrestling?
I think it is, because you actually, like, where exactly are you guys based out of?
We are in Washington.
Washington, D.C. or Washington State?
Washington State.
Okay, y'all out of Washington State. I am based out of Maryland, so streaming services probably is what led you towards me.
Absolutely. All right. Now, another thing that promoters are doing lately to try to get a little more revenue is a lot of promoters are getting into the merchandising, and you see more and more merchandise popping up and websites like Pro Wrestling Tees and Loot Crate, that sort of thing, are using a lot of independent companies in addition to a lot of just individual independent wrestlers to build their business, and it's kind of a reciprocal deal with the wrestlers, promotions, and the companies. Do you think that right now with the merchandising end of it, it might be the most lucrative time to be an independent professional wrestler?
Yeah, I actually think that, like, I run my own magazine company, which is based around pro wrestling. I also do my own t-shirt line. So as far as building the internet base, that's a good platform to stand on. But at the same time, you also need a better foundation in regards to, you got to be able to hit the streets and let people know, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is where you can catch me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you have to have a foundation underneath of you. So whether it be you doing it through Facebook, Instagram, or whatever, with social media, people are only going to see so much. Like, I don't know if you know this, right? But I used to have a job where I was actually working in radio, and one of the studies that we ended up coming across for doing was, let's just say you have 1,000 friends, right? If you have 1,000 friends and you put a post online, only 6% of those people are going to actually see what it is that you posted. So when you put in that, with that 6% only seeing what it is that you're posting, it's not like everybody seeing, all your 1,000 friends are seeing that you wrestle and you're here, there, and whatever.
That is very true, and something I don't think a lot of promoters fully understand. I don't know if you had to deal with this.
A lot of people.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, a lot of people don't a lot of your promoters don't understand that a lot of people actually come, they're lazy now. To the point where, okay, well, I can just hit share, and just because the computer says that it got viewed, just because the computer said it got viewed 3,000 times, all right, I mean, I'm going to have 3,000 people show up at a venue. No. Like, you got to think about it. A view is basically, if you're strolling through with your phone or through your computer, if you just stop and take a second to look, that counts as a view. So how many times have you actually went through and seen your own post? How many times have you actually went through and looked at your own post, and then you go through and then somebody might comment on it? So that's another view. So by the time you look at it, you might have 3,000 views, but only 30 people actually really seen it.
Very true. I'm not sure if you had to deal with this when you promoted your event, but as a wrestler, I'm sure you've run into it from time to time. There are athletic commissions in a large number of states. Some states don't have them, but the athletic commissions vary pretty greatly going state to state as far as how hands-on they are, how strict the rules are, et cetera, et cetera. Have you had to worry too much about the athletic commissions in the states where you wrestle?
whenever I wrestle in Delaware, things are pretty relaxed. They do have an athletic commission, but the athletic commission is not really, they're strict to as far as the rules in regards to the promoter, but as far as the actual wrestler, they don't really mess with us too much, because they hold the promoter's feet to the fire. Maryland is totally. Maryland's probably one of the most stricter spots that I've ever wrestled in. New York is pretty cool. They're pretty relaxed as long as you can pass your physical and everything. But from what I hear, they're actually starting to get a little tougher. New Jersey, they don't really bother you too much. It's really based upon, like, with the actual promoter. Virginia, they're pretty... Virginia's pretty much, they deal with the promoter themselves. They don't really mess with the wrestlers too much. West Virginia, I don't really think they even have a commission. So when you're there, it's pretty much the Wild Wild West. let's see where else I've been. Pennsylvania, I didn't really have to deal with a commission there. I'm actually looking to, like, I actually have a friend who's from Washington State, and he's actually talking to me about trying to get me to come out there.
We have a fair number of promotions up here now. Commission actually changed the rules of things, made it a little bit easier for promotions to exist. Now, just as a general rule, I know you haven't dealt with a ton of the commissions so far, but as a general rule, do you think that athletic commissions are generally good for the wrestling business or generally bad for the wrestling business, just as a whole?
As a whole, I think commissions are actually good. I think they're good in regards to... They give you a basic guideline. They give you a basic guideline in regards to this is what you should be doing, this is what you need to be doing in order for you to run a legit show. The one thing that I don't like in regards to the commission is all the fees that they decide to hit you with. Like, they charge you for all different things that at the end of the day, it's like, why?
At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I know that QT has questions as well, so I'm going to pass you over to him for a while.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Stein Guy. Hello, Marcus.
What's going on?
Not too much, not much. Marcus, with all our first-time guests, we ask the second half of the show beginning question. What's the hardest knife edge chop you have ever received in the ring, and was it from a female wrestler?
The hardest knife edge chop I've ever received.
Yes.
Oh, man, let's see. I'd probably say the hardest knife edge chop I've ever received came from a guy I just wrestled recently. PJ Parker.
Oh, okay. The size of your opponent.
I couldn't hear you.
Can you tell us the size of him?
Oh, PJ is, we'll say PJ is probably like 5'11", and he weighs about 300.
Wow.
That's me being generous. Being real generous.
Holy, so he was kind of built like Earl Campbell back in the late 70s for the Houston Oilers, but he outweighed him by about 55 pounds. That's okay. All right. Well, Marcus, if you could go back in time, who would you rather take a knife edge chop from? Rikishi Fatu or the Hurricane?
You said, would I rather take a knife-edge chop from Rikishi or the Hurricane?
Yes, Rikishi, Fatu, or the Hurricane?
I'm going to probably say the Hurricane because of him being a lighter in stature.
Oh, okay. Right. And there's a good chance that if you did receive a knife-edge chop from Rikishi Fatu, you could end up collapsing in the corner, and you know what comes next.
Yeah, that's another reason why I'd rather take the chop from Hurricane.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Marcus, you said you went out for basketball in school. Were you a power forward like Carl, the mailman Malone?
Actually, I played all over. Like, at my school, we didn't have really a bunch of people that was that tall. So, me being 5'11", like, I did point guard some. I did shooting guard. Like, I was just all over the court. There were also times where they actually had me playing center, depending on who the opposition was.
Okay. All right. Okay. What position did you play in football?
What position did I play in football? Defensive end.
Oh,
defensive end.
Holy smoke, defensive end. Can you tell our listeners what your 40-meter timer is? 40-meter.
It's been forever since I did it. I would actually have to go out and try it again now. I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday, that I would like to do a 40 again.
Oh,
just
okay.
To see where I stand.
All right. Okay. Well, what events did you turn out for in track and field for?
Track and field, I did discus, I did shot put, I did 100-meter hurdles, and high jump.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Now, did you go out for track and field all your 4 years of high school?
I actually only went to high school 3 years because I graduated early.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'd like to, based on video analysis, and I am somewhat of an expert of utilizing video analysis and coming up with the strengths of what I see on the screen, I'm going to say that your first year of the shot put in high school, you threw the 12-pound ball, I'm going to say 38 feet, 11 inches.
I said 38 feet, 11 inches? Nah, it wasn't that far out.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say that.
Actually, my best event was the my best event was actually the discus.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say your best distance in the discus was 169 feet.
169 would probably be, I think 169 is probably an Olympic record. No, I didn't do that. But what I ended up doing, I threw for 104. And with the 104, the guy who won state that year, like, I didn't qualify for it. I didn't qualify for the state championship. But the guy who threw at states won the states with a 103. So what I threw in practice, what me throwing 104 in practice, I would have beat him at states, but I didn't qualify for it. Got in a little trouble in school, and I got kicked off the team.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Marcus, just for the record, do you know that the national high school record in the discus is 238 feet?
To who?
238 feet. Someone threw the discus that far in high school.
Who is he? Because I like to shake his hand.
Oh, this guy was huge. He was a kid out in Nevada. Yes.
Yeah, I like to shake his hand.
Oh, it was a big hand, believe me, yes. I think it was something like 6'6", 290.
Oh, okay, now I see why I put it out there so far.
Yes, and he had an unbelievable speed in the discus throw. His turning torque was unbelievable. Yes. Okay. All right. And I'd like to inform you that the national record in the high school high jump is 7'7". Can we ask what your height was?
My height was actually 6'1".
Hey, that's not bad. Anytime you can clear your own height in high jump, you've got very good strength in your legs. Very good strength.
I used to, back when I was in high school, not to sound too old, but back when I was in high school, we used to have those, the shoes that you would they were called strip shoes. I don't know if they were sold at by East Bay, where it's like for $119, you're walking on like a platform to where it is that it's an actual shoe, but like you're walking on your calf muscles all day long. Like everybody in my school wanted to be able to dunk. So like we walked around, we wearing them and doing all the little workouts and everything else. And then they had the, there was another workout called Air Alert too. Back then they used to have all kinds of things of, hey, well you could do this and get results fast. And like we as kids go to your parents, hey, can you buy me this or that or whatever? And you go out and try it, and some people actually gain results from it, and some people actually didn't.
Wow, okay, that's interesting. With 6'1", that's very good. But like I said, that one kid was 7'7". Okay. Well, Marcus, can we ask what your school colors were and what your mascot was? We ask all our interviewees this question. It's very important.
Our school colors was red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue is school colors. And mascot was an eagle.
I knew it. What other animal or bird could go with red, white, and blue? It's got to be the eagle. Yep. Oh, all right. Okay. Now, for the record, Marcus, can we ask when your 30th high school reunion will be? Your 30th.
30th will be in... Sheesh. Let's see. I'm at out of school now. 13 more years.
Oh, okay. All right, 13. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Marcus, we saw your YouTube video entitled Blueprint Presents Marcus Waters, the Hustler, at hashtag Northwest Wrestling, and underneath the title, it said Blueprint Wrestling Network. In this video, you were in the ring with an opponent with black and green wrestling gear, black boots, his upper chest area, black knee pads. After an uppercut to his jaw that you gave him, he staggered to the rope and he had his throat on the second rope. You pressed down on his neck at the 19-second mark and he started banging his feet on the canvas because of the pressure. The banging of his feet lasted till the 23-second mark, so you had about 4 seconds of what can be described as what sounded like rapid-fire machine gun. His boot against the canvas, which was somehow stretched, in this case, the canvas, to the right degree of tension, to what must have sounded to our World War I veterans as the German machine guns in the spring of 1918 at the Meuse-Argonne Offense in France, or Bill Ward's drumming with Black Sabbath on their song War Pigs. My question is, do you remember who your opponent was with the syncopatic feet?
You said Blueprint Wrestling Network did that, right?
Yes.
You said a guy had black and green attire on. I want to say that was Willie B. That was in West Virginia.
Oh, okay. Then you're saying the canvas was stretched to the exact degree, and his feet sounded kind of like this.
Yeah, that was me and Willie B.
Oh, okay. Now, when I mentioned the Meuse-Argonne offense in France, are you familiar with that decisive battle in World War One?
A tad bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, okay. Well, Marcus, I also saw your video entitled BWF, Hawaii Allen versus Marcus Walker. And I was impressed by this back and forth match. Toward the end of the match, you had Mr. Allen in a sleeper, and the referee lifted his arm twice, only to have it fall limply by his side. Then on the third time, it fell halfway and stopped. Somehow, he had cheated unconsciousness. He then somehow threw you to the canvas in a modified sidewalk slam German suplex combination. And then he hit you with Shawn Michaels' switch in music to 5:52 into the match. You managed to stay on your feet, so he hit you with another switch in music at the 5:56 mark. The referee's hand hit the canvas the third time at exactly the 6-minute mark. My question is, we just had the NBA draft, and the announcers go over each player's prospects, strengths, and where they are expected to go in the drafts.
Right.
Then they go over which team could most use the player based on what he did in college or the combine, etc. Based on the fact that Hawaii Allen probably tops out at 175 pounds, say if he was a rookie coming into the BWF, what positive attributes would you say about him if there was a BFW rookie draft?
Actually, Hawaiian Allen. He's actually their former, the BWF's former heavyweight champion. So he's actually good. So him coming in, like he proved that day why he deserved to be, well, why he once held the top position. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Uh-huh.
He actually proved why it is that he deserved to have been in that top position. He's actually, I would love to have another match with him. Let me just say that.
Well, based on the fact that you had him in a sleeper hold, and he his arm was kind of falling down the third time, but he held it up, and then he had the recovery to get you in a German suplex sidewalk slam, and then hit you with two sweet chin music. Would you use that to describe his rookie attributes? Could you say that you were covering him, and his name came up? And you, what qualities would you say that he possessed?
As far as qualities that he possessed,
yes.
To be able to endure the beating that I gave him that day.
Oh, okay.
Like, you gotta get, like, his endurance would be pretty high. So basically, doing this like pretty much like a NBA or Madden type rating system, right?
Yes.
Okay, so being we doing it like that, I'm gonna say overall, I'll probably put his rating at being, I'm gonna say like a 88 out of 100.
Wow, 88. Okay, all right.
Put him at 88.
Say if you and Hawaii Allen had a high jump competition, could he himself tie you at 6'1"?
No, I don't think he can do that. I think I'd get him there.
Hawaii Allen out discus throw you.
No, I don't think he could.
Okay. All right. Well, would you say that Hawaii Allen had the complete opposite body-wise of, say, a Bobby Rays, who you wrestled at the ECWA Academy this past January? Bobby Rays.
I think that... really think that I'd much rather be in the ring with Hawaiian Allen than Bobby Rays.
Okay, all right. Well, Marcus, the astrological sign Gemini falls between the dates of May 21st to June 20th. Geminis are known to be expressive and quick-witted. Geminis represent two different personalities in one, and you will never be sure which one you will face. Geminis
right.
are sensible, communicative, and ready for fun, with a tendency to suddenly get serious, thoughtful, and restless. Geminis are fascinated with the world itself, extremely curious, with a constant feeling that there is not enough time to express everything they want to see. The sign of Gemini is ruled by Mercury, the planet that represents communication, writing, and movement. Gemini's changeable and open minds makes them excellent artists, especially writers and journalists. Famous Geminis include Marilyn Monroe, Morgan Freeman, Paul McCartney, Clint Eastwood, Venus Williams, and John Wayne. Marcus, at this opportunity, I am going to put my undefeated Guess the Wrestler's zodiac sign or a person close to them. Can I put my undefeated string on the line and guess your mom's zodiac sign?
Sure, go ahead.
She's a Gemini.
Yes, she is.
Hey, that's right. I am now 7-4.
You did your homework.
Yeah.
You did your homework. My mom just had a birthday. It was Tuesday, I want to say, I think. Yeah, Tuesday.
Oh, okay. All right. So, okay. Well, to tell her that QT votes just extended his streak to 7-0 by guessing her astrological sign. That would be a very good honor for me.
Will do.
Okay. All right. Well, Marcus, I hear some bowling in the background. Can you explain a little bit more, and you touched with Sign Guy on this, your involvement in youth bowling, and I believe you're doing a benefit to raise some money. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Yes, I work with kids. No, that's not it. I work with kids as far as we did a benefit show the June 10th to try to raise money for the kids to send them out to Dallas, Texas for, which is a national competition called Junior Gold. Like the expenses of that competition is like through the roof. You know what I'm saying? They have to fly out from Maryland or drive out from Maryland out to Dallas, Texas and stay out there for a total of 10 days.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that would be expensive. Yes. Okay. Well, before the show, Sign Guy said that your high game was most likely 240. Was Sign Guy close?
You said my high game?
Yes. 240.
My high game is a 300. Perfect game.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's it. Oh, boy. Now, have you done two of those? Have you done two 300 games?
No, I've only actually did. I've only did one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've gotten close a bunch of times, but only one time actually perfect game.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever picked up the 7-10 split? The 7-10 split. Uh-oh, I think, Sign Guy, I think we may have lost Marcus.
But, yeah, it's not working.
Hello?
My question was, have you ever picked up the 7-10 split?
No, I haven't. I bowled the other night, and I almost got it, but I missed it.
Okay. All right. Well, Marcus, did you have any brothers and sisters growing up? And if so, did you have backyard wrestling matches, and were you the baby face?
I have brothers, and no, I've never done backyard wrestling.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Marcus, I am going to turn it back over to Sign Guy now.
All right.
Thank you, QT. Well, Marcus, you mentioned earlier in the show about having done basketball and football and track, as well as professional wrestling. Each sport is going to need a different set of skills physically, and a lot of that time it requires a person to go through a different set of training and different diet. For professional wrestling, have you modified your diet to something specific to help you the most in the ring?
I've actually kept my diet the same throughout it all. Like, I never really went into it. Like, I've just always been an athletic person, like, throughout my whole life. So my diet, even with me being heavier, I've had agility, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Now, on the training side of things, do you have any specific types of workouts that you have found that most help you in the ring?
I couldn't hear you.
When you're training, do you have any specific workouts that most help you in the ring?
I like to get in the ring with other, like, different guys. As far, like, you were talking about the match with Bobby Reeves. Like, I like to get in the ring with different people, and I pick up different things from everyone. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody that gets into the ring for any length of time is going to have injuries here and there. It's just part of the nature of the business. What are some of the injuries that you have had to overcome?
The only injuries I've ever had is in regards to wrestling is where I had I got dropped on my head and I had a stinger. Other than that, I've been playing it pretty safe.
Now, speaking of being dropped on one's head, that obviously is something that could lead to concussions, and concussions have been sort of a hot topic in all of sports, not just professional wrestling, in the last several years. By and large, do you think that there are enough ways to protect the average independent wrestler from concussions if it appears that they may have suffered from one, or do you think that's strictly on the individual wrestler to police himself when there may have been a concussion?
I think that they're, like, you should police yourself, but if you went to an actual school, like, the problem with now is you have a lot of guys who they don't go to an actual school. They'll find a friend who owns a ring, and then, hey, we're going to go and we're going to do ring time, and we're going to work on this move and that move, and then they get in the ring with somebody, and because they don't know how to properly take a move or properly do a move, they end up either hurting themselves or hurting whoever they're in the ring with.
That is a fair point. One of the things about professional wrestling is that a lot of fans enjoy is that there is a lot of variety in professional wrestling. Much like the circus, If you don't like one style of professional wrestling, there are several different styles that you might like. There are very serious type of promotions. You have the hardcore promotions with the weapons and blood. You have promotions that are family-friendly, promotions that are adult-oriented, promotions that are based around comedy for the most part. Do you personally have a specific style of wrestling that you most enjoy doing?
Me personally, I always try to look for companies that are family-friendly I try to do family-friendly shows so that way, I like to be able to bring my kids to the show with me. And I'm not trying to have her going into a show and then having nightmares because she's seen somebody walking around with light tubes or whatever sticking out of their head, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Are promotions like Chikara something that you either doing yourself or watching?
You said promotions like Chikara, and who was the other one?
Just like a promotion like Chikara that's sort of more gimmick and comedy based. Is that something that you enjoy?
I'm not really into doing like comedy wrestling. Like I've done a few matches where they ask for funny, but I'm more serious, like hard hitting, kind of sort of like what you would see if you watched a Ring of Honor style matches or whatever. Or if you really want to see good wrestling, go to ECWA Pro Wrestling, ECWAProWrestling.com, and you'll see me and a bunch of other guys who, like, we really take what we're doing out here in this ring serious. Man, you're getting pretty much everything you're looking for in a show besides the blood and guts, because who really wants to do that? I mean, like, you look at somebody like, let's say, Abdullah the Butcher, right? And Abdullah the Butcher, if you look at his forehead, if you look at New Jack's forehead, like, who wants that? Who wants to get up in the morning looking like that, really? Like, who really wants to do that to their body? I'm a firm believer of your body's your temple, and like you're doing that type of stuff to your body, you must have like some kind of issue, something ain't right with you.
Now, wrestlers, by our nature, are usually traveling quite a bit, going to shows in various towns. Like you mentioned, you've wrestled in several different states, and sometimes traveling issues will occur, be it a car that breaks down, airline flights getting delayed or canceled, just traffic snafus. What's been the most frustrating traffic issue you've had on your way to an event?
Most frustrating was I was supposed to debut for debut for Canada Wrestling Elite, which is in Winnipeg. I was supposed to debut for them like a year or so ago, and I had to get my passport, and I went and I paid it was like almost $300 for to get the permit expedited, where they would give it to me the same day instead of having to wait a month or so. I went to the Department of Passports or whatever it's actually called. I went to them. I explained to them the whole thing. I even had the promoter write me an itinerary as far as this is where he's traveling to, this is why he's traveling, This is how long he's going to be there. This is when he comes back. And when I got to the department, they told me, well, it was on a Thursday from Washington, D.C. to Winnipeg, driving was 24 hours. So I was going to leave that Thursday once I got my passport, and I'd have made it there in time to wrestle the show on Saturday evening. And they basically told me, hey, well, we can't give you your passport today. You got to come back and get it tomorrow because if you lived 100 miles away from our offices, we would have given it to you. And I lived 85 miles away from the office. You know what I'm saying? So that was really irritating. It was really irritating. It aggravated me a lot. And just because of 15 miles, I had to shoot down this whole booking to where it is that I would have been able to classify myself as an international superstar.
That definitely would be very frustrating. Well, we have a few minutes left on the show, and I want to make sure that you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything you have, the social medias, the upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite car wash, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Okay, all right. First things first, make sure, so I'd like for the listeners to go check out my website, which is www.delmarva, which is DELMARVA, WrestlingDigest.com. Go over and check that out. It's basically, like I said, a website that promotes professional wrestling in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. Next thing I would also like you to go check out is my t-shirt store, and that's www.teespring.com/hustler_lifestyle. And that's when you go pick up all your hustler lifestyle merchandise. You can also check me out every Monday night, also here on VOC Nation. It's the Boss's Chair podcast every Monday night, 7 o'clock. You can listen to me and Blueprint Wrestling own Marlon Dinkins, ECWA's boss, Michael Tartaglia, the matchmaker Joe Zanoli, and Phil Sly, referee extraordinaire. Phil Sly. If I didn't say that, he'd probably be mad. www.ecwaprowrestling.com. Check them out for all upcoming events. And whatever dates you can check out, the King of Delaware, Marcus Waters. You check me out on Facebook, which is, of course, Marcus Waters. On Instagram, it's Marcus Waters Pro, and on Twitter, Marcus Waters Pro. Check me out on each one of them. If you really want to get in contact with me, your best bet is to hit me up through Facebook, because that's what I'm pretty much on there more than anything else. I do check Twitter, Instagram, and everything else, but I'm more along the lines on Facebook. You can even check me out on on MySpace and Black Planet and all those other little websites. And every Wednesday night, I run a live special, live Q&A called Marcus Waters Wednesdays. I do that every Wednesday night, usually around the time of 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Even with the Boss Chair podcast, let me throw that in there. This is Eastern Standard Time. So if at any time y'all need something to do, looking to be entertained, check me out on either one.
Well, Marcus Waters, it was absolutely fantastic having you on the show today. Hopefully it won't be your first only visit. It'll be one of many to come. And I want to wish you well as you continue on with your career.
Well, thank you for having me as a guest. It's actually been an honor and a pleasure to actually be on. Like, I don't want you, like, my thing is, a lot of guys, they start wrestling and they get people who want to interview them, and a lot of guys who want to turn it down. Every opportunity I get to where it is that somebody wants to interview me, shake hands, hold conversation, whatever, like, I take every opportunity to do so. Like, you try to make as many fans as possible. A lot of my fans have actually turned into legit friends. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
Absolutely. Well, fans, if you get the chance to see Marcus Waters at a wrestling show near you, definitely buy yourself a ticket. Support what he is doing. Get on that website. Check it out. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Gino Rivera out of the great state of Arizona as our guest. Should be outstanding. Find yourself some pro wrestling. Go support it. And we will be back with you on Sunday.